Hi, everyone. It's great to see you all here today and tomorrow for Our Lady's special day. What we do, generally, I have time to transcribe the message, but since we just prayed one rosary, I was unable to do that. So we're going to see if you can hear it from the tape machine itself. And what Maureen does, she repeats Our Lady's message, and we tape it, and then it's transcribed. So let's see if we can all hear it. If you can't hear it, put your hand up, and then we'll play it through once, and then I'll repeat it.
Bless the Mother of Sears, refuge of Holy Love. She says, praise be Jesus.
Can we hear that? Okay. We'll repeat it, son. That's Maureen repeats what Blessed Mother says.
Dear children, tonight I invite you to understand that as my time with you shortens, each word I have spoken and each word I will speak to you tomorrow carries with it deep meaning. I have come to lead you into the heart of my Son, which is divine love itself. The way I call you upon is holy love, the two great commandments. No one enters the kingdom who does not love God above all else and his neighbor as himself. My dear children, I charge you with the task of going out into the world and carrying this message to whomever you meet. Be the message, my dear children. I'm blessing you.
Okay, we'll repeat that after Maureen's talk.
Can everybody hear me? I gave a talk on humility maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they did not record it, and so I'm going to repeat that. So if you'll just bear with me. Nobody is perfect in humility except Jesus and Blessed Mother, and so we all have work that we can do in that area. Our Lord gave me a little lesson on humility on November 28th of this year. Jesus said, if humility is the root of every virtue, understand that holy love is the soil in which it grows. The tree that bears all virtue cannot thrive without roots and soil. Every virtue is practiced by a movement of free will. It is infused into the soul through the persevering practice of the virtue. First, the soul must choose holy love, which is the soil. Through holy love of God above all else and neighbor of self as self, the soul must practice humility. Humility is self-abasing, thus open to self-knowledge, even welcomes it. Humility then sees criticism as a grace, considers others more worthy of grace, self-esteem, and reward than himself. Humility is happy with the lowliest job and never seeks recognition for his efforts. Humility seeks to be hidden. Thus, a person who claims humility is far from it. That was what Jesus had to tell us on November 28th. And I'd like to turn now to some passages in Scripture that have to do with humility. In Matthew chapter 18, we read, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 23, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And in James chapter 4, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, one of my other sources in these talks that I usually give on Saturday evenings has been this book called Divine Intimacy. I think they're rather hard to come by right now because so many people have been ordering them. But there is a chapter in there on humility and confidence. Christian humility does not lower, it elevates. It does not cast down, but gives courage. For the more it reveals to the soul its nothingness and abjection, the more it moves it toward God with confidence and abandonment. God does not introduce a soul to a higher spiritual life, nor admit it deeper into intimacy with himself, as long as it is not completely despoiled of all confidence in itself. When a soul practically forgets its nothingness and still relies on its own strength, knowledge, and initiative or virtues, be it ever so little, God leaves it to itself. In speaking of her definite total conversion, Saint Teresa of Jesus confesses that what prevented her from overcoming the last obstacles was really a remnant of confidence which she still had in herself. So it seems like we're supposed to cast ourselves completely on God and trust totally in his provision. Okay. Now, we're not being called to be humble on the outside. That's false humility. But Our Lady is calling us to humility of heart. Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Jesus speaks directly to us about humility of heart because every virtue, every reform of life, if it is to be sincere, must come from the heart. Whence come our thoughts and our actions? And Our Lady tells us that what's in our heart directs our free will. So if we don't have holy love and holy humility in our heart, our thoughts and our words and our actions aren't going to be aligned with the divine will of God. The exterior attitude and humility of our words are useless unless accompanied by lowliness of heart. Many times they are but the mask of a refined and therefore all the more dangerous pride. First, make clean the inside, Jesus said when he was speaking about the Pharisees' hypocrisy, that the outside may become clean. Therefore, to be truly humble, we must apply ourselves, first of all, to humility of heart and continue to deepen the sincere recognition of our nothingness, of our weakness. Let us acknowledge our faults and failings without trying to assign any other case for them than our own misery. Let us recognize the good that is in us as a pure gift of God and never claim it for our own, because everything is a grace. All good comes from God. And he just uses us as little instruments. God never refuses necessary grace to anyone. We have only to turn to him and ask him with confidence and perseverance for humility of heart. Also, I read earlier today, when I was leafing through this, that many people want to be humble, and they may pray to be humble. But for heaven's sakes, none of us want humiliations. And that's the way God brings us to humility, through our humiliations. So we should see these humiliations as a great grace from God. Now, in this book, A Year with the Saints, each month is dedicated to a different virtue. February is humility. And St. Augustine tells us, humility is the foundation of all the virtues. Therefore, in a soul where it does not exist, there can be no true virtue, but the mere appearance only. In like manner, it is the most proper disposition for all celestial gifts. And finally, it is so necessary to perfection that of all the ways to reach it, the first is humility, the second is humility, the third is humility. And if the question were repeated 100 times, I should always give the same answer. St. Thomas says, humility is the mother of many virtues. From it spring obedience, holy fear, reverence, patience, modesty, mildness, and peace. For whoever is humble easily obeys, fears to offend any, maintains peace with all, shows himself affable to all, is submissive to all, does not offend or displease any, and does not feel the insults which may be inflicted upon him. He lives happy and contented and in great peace. That's the mark of humility. That's one of the fruits of humility, is peace. I know a very humble priest in Boston, and he just floats around. Anything that happens around him, it doesn't faze him. He just turns it over to God. He's about to lose the place that he has been praying and working out of, and he's very humble about it. He never mentioned it to me. Someone else told me about it. St. Bernard says, humility is necessary not only for the acquisition of virtues, but even for salvation. For the gate of heaven, as Christ himself testifies, is so narrow that it admits only little ones. St. Vincent de Paul says, we ought always to consider others as our superiors and to yield to them, even though they be our inferiors, by offering them every kind of respect and service. Oh, what a beautiful thing it would be if it should please God to confirm us well in such a practice. And once again, St. Bernard, when one is very remarkable for virtue, the truly great before God and favored, and truly great before God and favored and esteemed by him, yet with all this remains little and vile in his own eyes, here is that humility so grateful to God and so rare among men, which was found most often in the Blessed Virgin, who, on hearing herself chosen to be the Mother of God, acknowledged herself to be a servant and a handmaiden. Okay. Let's see. This one is St. Thomas Aquinas. When you see anyone who desires esteem and honors and avoids contempt, and who, when contradicted or neglected, shows resentment and takes it ill, you may be sure that such a one, though he were to perform miracles, is very far from perfection, for all his virtue is without foundation. And, whoops, I lost that one. St. Francis de Sales, to bear abasement and reproach is the touchstone of humility, and at the same time of true virtue. For in this, one becomes conformed to Jesus Christ, who is the true model of all solid virtues. And then Jesus told us in this lesson on humility that in Paul to the Corinthians chapter 13, Paul describes holy love. But Jesus says this is also a description of holy humility. So I'll read that very briefly if I can. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. So faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.